Welcome to Verity Ed, where parents are primary. Today I am sharing with you my top three homeschool organizational tools. You've seen me using these three tools in our Day in the Life videos. For one of our latest, check out my homeschool orientation video here, and make sure that you hit subscribe and the notification bell so you don't miss a single one of those as the year progresses. But here we go with my top three must-have homeschool organizational tools. And stay tuned to the very end to find out what I'm drinking today. Tool number one, the binder. And yes, I use a physical three-hole ring binder to keep actual paper in. Because, you know, I understand that at this point in history, it would be more earth-friendly of me to just use the internet and my Google spreadsheets and not print anything, and it just seems more efficient. But it's really not for me, because if there's a screen in front of me, internet searches, why remember something when you can just look it up? Or I'm looking at Facebook all of a sudden, or yeah, like I get really distracted. So when we're getting into the groove of our homeschool morning, I want a paper binder, actually a cardboard binder with paper in it. And what, you may ask, is in the magical binder? Well, I'm going to walk you through that right now. But my general principle is anything I need to keep the school morning running so that I can keep the kids on target for what they're supposed to be doing. I don't have to be flipping through a million teacher manual and workbooks in order to get this photocopy or that. But it just helps cut down on the noise of the big family morning to have all the records I need in one place to keep it moving. So let me walk you through it right now. All right, so let me show you the tabs that are in the binder. I don't know how well you can see this, but you'll just get a sense. So I start with the youngest child, and I have her plans for kindergarten, and they are printed out for me 4 weeks at a time. I try and get them all on one page. If you want to see how I set up my lesson plans, my planner to print out, you can check out my homeschooling webinar on efficient and effective homeschooling on the website, and I'll walk you through those. Also, always free for Patreon members. I love you. So I have her lesson plans, and then I have my third graders' lesson plans as well. And again, I try to get them all on one page so that as the weeks go by, I just remove the week that's finished and the next one is sitting there waiting for me. Magic. It's great. So I get 4 weeks at a time in here, because I really like to, when I'm planning, just sit down and get in the zone. And it also means that I'm only doing lesson plans once a month. It's a little bit longer block of time, but it's way more efficient. And again, more on that system on my webinar. But what else is in this binder, my magical binder? And again, the principle is just anything that I need to keep the school day going. In the binder is also their poetry for the entire year. So before we start the year, I just look ahead and I make a document with all of the poems for kindergarten under its own tab, all of the poems for third grade on its own tab. Something other moms do is if you have a memory work program like Catholic Schoolhouse or CCE, you can just have that all printed out and in here. And again, as we finish a poem, I just turn to the next one and it's right there. Other things that are in the binder are lesson plans that don't fit easily into the weekly spreadsheet that I need to refer to daily. So for example, I use Mari McAllister's Guide to Starting a Spelling Notebook as my walkthrough for the Writing Road to Reading phonics program. So for my third grader, I've just photocopied those 9 weeks of plans for a special tab in the binder. So again, if I'm in his third grade lesson plan and I'm working on that and it says, okay, week one, day two, Mari's guide, option two, I just turn to that tab, it's right there. And again, as we finish a page, I rip it out and we're moving on and the binder's getting smaller. Another item that I have this year based on what I have, what I need for day to day, I have all the blank maps for my third grader. So he's doing Europe and Asia this year, along with Story of Civilization, Medieval History. So I just have a bunch of copies of that map in here in a folder ready to go, and it's great. And each of my older children have their own binders that sort of reflect this master binder that mom has for the younger kids. So again, for example, my eighth grader has a binder that begins with her 4 weeks of lesson plans all printed out and ready to go. She has a tab for her poetry or memory work for the whole year, already photocopied, ready to go. She has a tab for her maps, blank copies and maps that she's filled in, already there. So I'm also trying to train my older children in this art that I've been trained in by life circumstances. So they'll have that skill throughout their life to organize their thoughts and these large, long, year-long projects that are academic years in education. Tool number two, the box. We have the binder and now we have the box. All right, so I'm going to show you inside the homeschool box, the second B on my list. Now, the thing I love about having my box is that it can keep things from year to year. So I don't have to like revamp the whole thing every year. And it helps me keep track of a lot of the printouts and handouts that I might get online as PDFs and then just have master copies. So the first section, because I'm a complete geography geek, are all of our maps. And I use the Ultimate Timeline and Geography Guide for a lot of my blank maps. But again, like during the year and in the middle of a school day, it can be a real pain to have to stop and go make photocopies and find the page with the right continent on it. So I just photocopy a bunch of the maps that I'll be using throughout the year, and I divide them up so I have my continents blank maps, and this includes both political and geographical blank maps. I've also got some specific, history-specific maps. So I have like an ancient history blank. This has ancient Rome and ancient Greece maps. And then I have just blank United States maps for American history. Very important too, I have all the keys here and the checklists that students might need in order to find the answers to the blank maps or for me to check. Now, I don't let anyone in the box except me or a child with special permission and a very specific task. And that's just because, like, look, they're good kids. I don't think they're gonna, thank you, I don't think they're gonna, you know, deliberately cheat, but it's lead us not into temptation, right? It's just, it's not fair to them to just have all of my teacher keys and solutions manuals and blank maps keys just available, because things get busy and they just want to get the work done and they're like, oh gosh, the key's right there and no one will ever know. It's a temptation. So just the general rule is you don't go in the box unless mom says and you have a very specific thing to go and get and copy. So anyway, I have my master keys. I also have the copies of math tests just ready to go, have the whole year ready. I also have, this is my sacred art study prints. So you know when you get those calendars, or maybe there's a book that you're going to throw away or give away, but there's a really nice picture in it, so you rip it out. I've done that before. I just like to stick them in here and kind of keep a running tab. That way, when a child like my kindergartner who's sitting next to me gets a little bored, we might just say, okay, let's pull out some of our art studies and just take a look at them for 5 minutes while mommy makes photocopies. All right, and we also have some science prints going on. Other things that are in here are master copies of tests and quizzes that I will need or that I've downloaded from online. So I have a master printed out copy of, this is first and second form Latin, and it's, again, just ready to go. It's there. I have, for example, I bought all the biology tests online for last year for my high schooler. So those are in here. I also have, what else do we have? Oh, yes, and the Latin for high school. Those were all online, and I just printed them out as well. Because, again, during the homeschool morning, I get really distracted, and having to go on the computer just adds one more layer of distraction. So if I already have my printed copies in my box, they're here. And then year to year, if we have leftovers of something, I can just leave it in there in its labeled folder. And eventually, as another child grows up through it, I already have some of the things waiting and ready to go. So an example of that would be I have First Communion preparation. I had a First Communicant last spring. I won't have another one for a couple of years, but I can keep all of our worksheets from My Path to Heaven in there and waiting for her. So that's pretty great. Last piece that I keep in here, and I think I mentioned this, but I keep all of my tests and my solutions manuals in here. So for example, here's the test booklet for the 6th and 8th graders vocabulary program, and the solution manual to go along with it. So I'll just keep them in here. It's the one-stop shopping if there's a test or a quiz coming up. And that's pretty much it. Yep, here's Algebra 1 tests and Math 76 tests. So we've got those going on there. But you can, again, customize this to be whatever you want it to be. But having one place where I have my copies and the papers that we need throughout the year ready to go, we can just open it up. I know where my tests, oh, that was loud. My tests and worksheets are in the box. Tool number 3, the bookshelf. And I love my bookshelves. I have many, but I have just 2 that are dedicated to the materials we are using this year, day to day. All right, so now I'm going to turn this around and we're going to look at the bookshelf, number 3. Just fair warning, this is real life. I did not clean off my bookshelf and make it perfect for you. So yeah, none of us are special. Your mama said, but you're not. Okay, just kidding, you are special. But let's turn it around. So like I said, we homeschool primarily in our dining room. Look at my coloring duo here. Anyway, yep.
Hello.
That colored pencil, this is part of my shelf, so I'm going to go back to that. All right, so here's the shelf. The shelf is, I have 6 cubbies, and then I have a 3-tiered shelf here. Each child gets either a cubby or a complete shelf, depending on their age. So I'm going to try and move this down here so I can kind of show you. All right, so obviously the 8th grader gets the biggest shelf this year. These are all the history readers. Now, I've been doing this for a very long time and I'm a book nerd, so I've collected all the history readers into my library. So I'm not using the public library very much. I own it, so it's just here. So she can see the whole year all the amazing books we're going to read. The one I was looking forward to is Joan of Arc. Okay, but she has all of her books that she needs right here. She's got her science workbook and text. She's got
that's me, reading. Mommy.
That's right. That's you. And this is Sally right down here. This is her history. Everything she needs on a day-to-day basis. Yep. She can be sitting at the table, walk over here, grab it, and go. Latin is here. Everything's there. All right. So that's her shelf. I'm going to move that over there. Oh, she has so many things this year. Oh, and her math ended up up here, so you can see that it's not a perfect system. Lots of user error, but we're working on it. Kindergarten's down here just because they're huge books, and they're mostly for me. So we've got that along with her clock. We have 6th graders in here. Oh, sorry, no, 3rd graders in here.
Mommy.
6th graders in here.
No, Mommy.
On the top and the bottom are items for that I use a lot or their reference materials. And the rule of thumb with shared text is that the shared book goes to the older child. He or she is responsible for it. So for example, my 6th and 8th grader are sharing art this year. And so the 8th grader gets the art text because she's the older student. So it goes up her shelf. And that's just a good principle to have because then when they're cleaning up and you're like, okay, we gotta clear the table, everyone put your things on your shelf, they know who gets it and it just cuts down on bickering. On the top of the shelf, we include things that we use again every day, which are colored pencils. I have given up on markers and crayons because nobody wants the crayons. We end up with 500 crayons that no one's using. So we just have colored pencils at this point in the homeschool. I know they like markers, but I don't like markers, and I find the lids everywhere. So markers are like a treat at Christmas. If grandma drops some in the stocking, that's great, but I don't supply them. So we have colored pencils in our little spinny round thing that I love because I can use it as a kindergarten activity. Why don't you go sort the pencils by color? It's really great. We also have scissors and glue sticks, the things that the little kids will use for math projects or cutting out shapes and things like that. We have rulers. And my children will tell you, one of my pet peeves is when I cannot find a ruler because we have a spot for the rulers. But again, it's not that it's always perfect. It's that we have a place for everything. Everything has a home. So when we lose it, we go find it and bring it home, just like good shepherds, a spiritual lesson within our organizational home. We also have all the flashcards, and this was a huge hack for me this year. I found at the thrift store this brochure display little bin, and I can put in Xavier's flashcards in stackable order, and they're just there, and that's where they go. So I'm not dealing with flashcards flying all over the place as much. We also have magnifying glasses and paper. Paper, paper, paper. We have drawing paper from Blick Art, which you can get here. It's the best. We also have lined paper, and we have computer paper for the little kids, and just any additional papers that we need so that there's always a piece of paper to be grabbed to illustrate something. And you have made it through my three B's of the necessary organizational tools of my homeschool. I have been using these in one form or another for, well, since Miriam was four, so that's 12 years. And again, they are scalable. You can use them with older children. You can use these tools with younger children. You can use them with a wide family. You can add children, subtract children, all of the things. These three elements of my system are effective in homeschools of all shapes and sizes. And now you get to find out what I'm drinking. I'm drinking coffee, but more importantly, what I'm drinking it out of. I am very excited. We have the Verity Ed mug. I'm so happy. And this is a perk for our Patreon subscribers, who I want to thank right now. You are all getting mugs if you are at the $25 level or higher, and stickers if you are at the $5 level and higher. And I want to thank you all so much for your support. You make it possible to keep doing this and doing it well. So thank you to Patreon. If you're interested in joining us there, please check us out. I will link Patreon below, along with all of the wonderful tools that I mentioned today. If you have any organizational tips or tools you can't do without, please leave it in the comments, and I will see you next time on Verity Ed.